We want to welcome you all to the morning service. We're glad of your presence with us. This is the first Sabbath day, the Sabbath morning service of this new year of 2024. Just one short verse that'll guide our thoughts at the outset in keeping with our theme today. In Luke 17, verse 5, "And the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith." So we want to think about our faith, our trust in Christ today in the message in our motto text. And we want to make these words our prayer. The Lord will increase our faith, give us a greater, a stronger faith personally and as a congregation as well. We're going to sing together the words of 726. It's a hymn penned by Francis Ridley Havergal, the consecration poet. "Another year is dawning, dear Father, let it be, in working or in waiting, another year with thee. Another year of progress, another year of praise, another year of proving thy presence all the days." So 726, and we're going to stand together as we sing, please. Still our hearts, we'll seek the Lord, seek his presence and his blessing with us today. We encourage you to pray also for the Lord to be with us and amongst us. So let's just seek his face together. Heavenly Father, we come to thee in our Saviour's name, glad of the privilege we have. We cry, Father, that you would teach us to pray today. We ask thee to lead us on with thyself. We pray especially you lead us on at the throne of grace. We pray, Father, in this new year that it will please thee, that we'll grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Thank you for the past year. We give thee praise, Father, for every provision, how you've blessed us. We're able to say that you've given us every day our daily bread. Oh Lord, we want to praise thee for that. As we think of the blessings that you bestow upon us, we have to say with the psalmist that our cup runneth over. Oh Lord, we want to give to thee the praise and thanks of our hearts. We thank you for the time we've had with our families, even over the Christmas time, the special season of the year. Thank you for the Lord being with us. We have known, Father, your presence. Thank you for the blessing you've given to us, the safekeeping that we've known. Thank you, too, that it has pleased thee to bring us to this new year. Lord, we want to commit the year into your hands as we're gathered here in thy house on this Sabbath morning. We do praise thee that we're able to gather in your house. Thank you for bringing us to this service. We thank you, Father, for the desire we have to be at these meetings. And Lord, we would ask that we would never lose that interest and that desire for the house of God. We pray, Father, it will continue with us and even strengthen as the years go by until our life is over. We're glad we can say today that I was glad when they said unto me, let us go up to the house of the Lord. And we want to pray, Father, be amongst us. We cry to thee. Come down today. Be in our midst. What a blessing that would be. What an encouragement. What even, Father, a seal that would be upon this new year as we gather here for the first time on a Sabbath morning. Lord, we ask that you'll come and tabernacle in thy house today. We ask thee to draw near to us. We pray, Father, for such a visitation of the Lord that all that are gathered here will know that the Lord is with us today. We want, Father, to plead with thee to be with us through this year. We ask thee to guide us. You've assured us in your word that you'll instruct us and teach us in the way that we should go and guide us with thine eye. And Lord, we acknowledge we need that guidance every day in all that we have to do for all the decisions of life, whether big or small. And Lord, we ask thee to guide us every day. We rejoice you've assured us that you'll even guide our steps. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. And we pray you'll do that for us. We confess we need wisdom, Father. You've told us if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God. And we ask for the wisdom that is needed for our responsibilities in our homes and in our families, places of employment and education too. And Lord, we ask for wisdom to be given to the office bearers of this church as they oversee this work and all, Father, relating to it, the care of this congregation. We remember that Solomon asked for wisdom. He asked for a wise and an understanding heart. You were pleased to grant it to him. He became the wisest of men. And Lord, for that Solomon-like wisdom, we would cry for, we would plead for today, even Father, in our dealings, the one with the other. We ask thee that our lives would be a blessing. And we pray, Father, make us a channel of blessing this day. Make us a channel of blessing through this year. We pray for a greater experience of the blessing of God. And Lord, we thank you, even the words that we've been singing, for another year of service, the possibility, the potential of another year in the service of Christ. And Lord, our desire is that this will be a year that is given to thee, a year that we give to God in its entirety. We want to pray, Father, at the very beginning of this new year, you'll help us in the meeting today to give ourselves, to consecrate ourselves, to dedicate our lives, our time, our talents, our gifts into your service and all that we are. Father, we ask thee to take us and to use us to thy glory. And we pray, Father, in those words we read a little earlier, we ask thee to increase our faith. We pray you'll lead us on, especially, Father, with regard to our faith and our trust in thee. We confess at times we have that unbelief and our faith is weak, that we struggle like that man in the scriptures. I believe, help thou mine unbelief. So we pray even today, Father, encourage us and teach us from the word of God. Open the scriptures to us. Pray it might be a blessing to our hearts. Pray that even the motto text will be a guide and an encouragement to us, not just today, but right through this year. We lift every department, Father, of this church before thee and all that labour in them. And we pray, Father, for the evident blessing of God to be our portion. We pray this will be a year of increase. We pray it will be a year of progress in the testimony of the gospel here in this house. We're mindful, Father, of those that can't be here today because of age or because of sickness. We plead especially be near to them, those in hospital, those in nursing homes, mindful of some away for a break even at this time. Lord, we just commit each one into your hands, every member of this congregation. Remember the children as they start back to school again. Watch over them as they travel day by day. Keep them in their place of education. Give them the wisdom that is needed. We're conscious, Father, of the evil of the days, the great influences for evil that are brought upon our children. Even, Father, the plans and purposes of the government and all that they are seeking to do. We pray that you'll overrule and overturn those plans, Father, to your glory and to your praise. And we pray you'll keep the little ones. We ask thee to lead all our children and young people in the paths of righteousness for your great name's sake. And Lord, do remember the minister's week of prayers that gather in your will in this incoming week. We pray that you'll bless those sessions day by day, every brother that will minister, every season of prayer. And we ask, Father, for an outpouring of your Spirit. We pray you'll give to all our ministers and missionaries and workers and our whole denomination, give to us, Father, times of refreshing from the presence of the Lord. Answer our prayers now, and we plead you will continue with us in a greater sense of your presence and power now. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The Psalm 103, please. We're going to sing together the opening verses, the opening seven verses just of the psalm together. Psalm 103. O thou, my soul, bless God the Lord, and all that in me is, be stirred up his holy name to magnify and bless. So the Psalm 103, the opening seven verses, and we're standing together as we sing, please.
Thank you.
We're reading together, please, in the scriptures. In the book of Proverbs, in the third chapter. Proverbs chapter 3. Beginning to read at the first verse. It's the opening 12 verses we're going to read together of this passage of God's Word. So Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1. Let us hear God's Word to our hearts. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favour and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. So shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, neither be weary of his correction. For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the Son in whom he delighteth. Ending there at the close of verse 12, praying for the Lord to follow with his blessing this, the public reading of his word. We welcome each one to the Lord's house on this Sabbath morning, the first Sabbath of 2024. We're glad to see all that have been able to gather with us. We pray that you'll be blessed by the meeting, especially if you're visiting with us today. We're glad of your presence. It's always an encouragement to us to have visitors in the meetings. It's good to have the children and young people that are present. We want to welcome you as well, especially when the Sunday school and Bible classes are still off over this holiday period. We appreciate you all coming along to the meeting this morning. And those that are watching, looking into the service on the live stream, we're glad that you have been able to join us and to share with us in the meeting this morning as well. Today is my spiritual birthday. This day, or this night, 45 years ago, the 7th of January, 1979, it fell on a Sabbath day in 1979 as well. Just a lad of 13 attending the Sunday school in the Killinear Schoolhouse, where our Carriedove Church met for many years. Mr. Paisley would always come out to the schoolhouse on the first Sunday night of every new year. They held in those days what was known as an after meeting for those that had gone to their own church service. And then it was a later service at 8:15. And he would always come out to that first one in the Killinear Schoolhouse, a little building packed at a capacity. But it was that night at the end of the service in the little anteroom there, and it is little, very small room, that with Dr. Paisley and Mr. Robert Lowe, the late Mr. Robert Lowe, who under God was influential in that little schoolhouse being opened and the Carriedove work commencing. They were with us in the room that night when we called upon the Lord for salvation. So we rejoice in the Lord's mercy. We're thankful for his grace from that day to this, those 45 years. And our prayer is that even this day, this 7th of January, this first Lord's Day of this new year that someone here or someone in our families would come to Christ or get right with the Lord. Remember, please, the meetings tonight. 6:30 is the prayer meeting in the hall downstairs. We're thankful to all that faithfully come to those prayer meetings and have done through the last year. We want to encourage you at the start of this new year determine that you're going to attend, begin to attend. Maybe for some of you did attend at one time. One of the detrimental effects of the COVID lockdown was that many people changed their habits. Some of those changes were not for the better. As far as attendance at meetings in general was concerned, and the attendance at prayer meetings in particular. So we encourage you, remember all the prayer meetings, remember the prayer meetings before the services. We encourage you to come that wee bit earlier, join with us. We have been encouraged by your presence and the importance too, just to emphasize that of praying for the Lord's blessing upon the meetings and upon the work of the gospel here. 6:30 is our evening service. Pastor Victor Maxwell, the president of the Acre Gospel Mission, is going to be with us. He's going to speak on the life of Dr. Bill Woods, the late Dr. Woods, missionary to Brazil. We're looking forward to that meeting. We encourage you to come, plan to be with us, plan to be with us in your family, and make the meeting known to others that you know would be interested in hearing that tribute that Pastor Maxwell will bring tonight. And he will bring copies of the new book that he has penned on the life of Dr. Woods, that book been written since his home calling at the beginning of November. Remember the meetings in the will of the Lord in the incoming week, Tuesday at 6:45, both children's bright hours are back again. So that's the children's meeting here in the church hall, and then the children's meeting also in the band hall down in Killalea. So please spread the word, make it known that both of those meetings are back again. Wednesday night at 8 is our midweek prayer meeting and Bible study. The Reverend Philip Knowles will be with us to give a wee bit of an update on the work in London. You know that I was with the Reverend Knowles in the London church back in September when we were over preaching in England. So our brother's going to be home for the week of prayer. He's travelling over tomorrow evening. So we thought it'd be nice, it would encourage him just to have him at our midweek service. It's not an official deputation, but if you would like to give a gift to support the Reverend Knowles, you can do that at the end of the meeting. He'll give us a report, an update on his labours there in London, and bring a message to us as well from the Lord's Word. Friday night at 8, the Youth Fellowship is recommencing in the church hall. We encourage all of the young people, secondary school age and upward, to come along and support those youth fellowship meetings. We know that your presence would be a blessing and encouragement to Matthew and Hannah. Next Lord's Day, the 14th of January, 10:40, the Sunday school and Bible classes are back again following the break just over the holiday period. So just remind the parents and the children of that. 11:30 a.m. the morning service, 6:30 p.m. The evening service. There's a half hour of prayer preceding both services. I'll be down in Corrigarry for both meetings next Lord's Day as part of my responsibilities there as the interim moderator of the congregation. And the preacher here at both meetings next Sabbath is Mr. Christopher Orr. Christopher's a second-year Whitfield student from the Newton Abbey congregation. So remember our young brothers, he comes to minister amongst you. Monday the 15th, that's Monday week, 10 a.m. in the morning, the parent and toddler group starts back in the church hall. 7:30 in the evening, there's a session meeting in the minister's room of the church. And then at 8 in the evening is the ladies' meeting for the month of January in the church hall. It will be a home meeting, and Roberta will be taking that meeting on that evening. So keep all of those meetings in mind on that Monday, the 15th. There's motto text cards available. with a new motto text for 2024. Those are in the porch and at the door, so take a copy with you as you leave the service. Just to remind you of the words of our motto text, there's details of the church services on the reverse side. So if you'd like to take one to give to some of your friends, just to make them aware of the witness of the church here and its meetings, do feel free to do that. Remember to take your free will offering envelopes for 2024 if you haven't received yours as yet, and if you would like free will offering envelopes for this new year, if you haven't had them previously, speak to our brother, Mr. Billy Hill, about that. The Christmas missionary offering for the Bible Spread and Union now stands at £1,355. We're very thankful for your very generous giving. There's still an opportunity to add to that if you would like to do so. There's also a few copies of the annual report of the Bible Spreading Union for 2022 and 2023 in the porch. Gives you an idea of their income and outlay every year, and also the grants of Bibles that they've made during that period. And there's also a few copies of the message that was preached at the 129th annual meeting of the Bible Spreading Union. That message was brought by the Reverend Philip Knowles, the minister for our London church. Dr. Paisley himself preached at the 100th anniversary. That was a very significant anniversary and very significant meeting. So there's a few copies of both of those in the porch. Remember to look at the literature on the tables as well. There's various denominational magazines and other pieces of literature there if you haven't received those as yet. The Bethany Church is having their first youth rally of 2024 this evening, 8:45. We encourage the young people to go along. There's a testimony by Mrs. Carol Abernethy, the Reverend Abernethy's wife, and also the singers of the Bethany Youth Fellowship, and there's refreshments that will be served for all of the young people afterwards. The Reverend Abernethy's father has been unwell. He has been in hospital in the past week. We're glad that he's out, but he will have to go in for some surgery, we understand, in the not-too-distant future. So remember the Abernethy family in your prayers as well. The Minister's Week of Prayer takes place this incoming week, God willing. It will be here in Armagh City again. They'll be meeting in the Armagh City Hotel. Most of the brethren, most of the minister students, workers, missionaries, and so on will be staying in the Armagh City Hotel. There is a Presbytery Communion service. It will be held here in the will of God tomorrow night for all members of Presbytery. There is no North American representatives coming over for the week of prayer this year. The practice has been that any year that there's an international congress taking place, if the international congress is here, then the presbytery there waits to send their representatives to the congress, and the same happens then when the international congress is in the United States. So please remember the week of prayer, and pray that the power of God will come down upon those meetings and come down upon our denomination as well. The Hebron Church in Ballymoney is having their annual missionary weekend. That is next weekend, Friday through to Sunday. There's quite a few details. I'll not go through them all this morning, but we will put the details of those meetings. They've sent through an advert, so we will put those details up on the church Facebook page so that you can see them. And if you can, we encourage you to go down and give your support to those special missionary meetings. As a congregation, we want to congratulate Jonathan Hewitt and Katie Turner on their engagement. They were engaged on New Year's Day, so a very special start to the new year for them. We're very happy for you both. We see the young couple in the service this morning. We want to assure you of our prayers, and we wish you God's richest blessing as you plan your wedding and as you plan your future together. And we do want to wish you all and your families too, each one of you, a very happy and prosperous 2024 as we meet here today on the first Sabbath of this new year. So I believe those are all the announcements. 467, please, 467. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. While we do his good will, he abides with us still and with all who will trust and obey. 467, we'll leave out the middle verse, so 1, 2, 4, and 5, and we'll stand as we sing, please. Just a brief word of prayer before we come to the scriptures this morning. Father, we praise thee for your presence and blessing and help in this service already today. We want to ask that that will continue as we wait on now around the word. We ask thee to bless, Father, every home, family, of this congregation. We do praise thee today for your mercy and salvation. And Lord, our cry is that every family of this church will know and experience household salvation. We want to commit every family to thee. Lord, we pray that it will be so that every member of our families would know Christ. We thank, Father, even especially those in the teenage years and the influences at school upon them, And our prayer is that you'll keep them and watch over them especially. We ask thee, Father, to remember Jonathan and Katie. We commit them to thee at this time. Think of your providence that has brought them together. Thank you for their engagement. We commit them in the way ahead into your hands, praying for your blessing and guidance, your guidance to be their experience. Lord, hear our prayers now, and we ask thee, bless us around the word. Fill us now with the Holy Ghost. We pray for utterance. We want to pray, Father, that help and liberty will be known in the preaching today. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Proverbs 3, please. The familiar words of verses 5 and 6. We've chosen as our motto text for this year of 2024. As on previous years, we encourage you to get familiar with them, to learn them. Most will know these words by heart already. So we do want you to know them, not have them just in your hand, but have them in your heart and mind as well. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. The theme of the message is trust and okay. It's always interesting to hear what the children have to say, especially the younger children, when they've been at meetings, Sunday school or children's meeting. A boy was once asked by his parents, "What did you do at Sunday school today?" He replied, "We sang the hymn Trust and OK." Obviously, he'd made a mistake. He didn't hear the words properly or clearly. It was the hymn that we have just sung together a few minutes ago. He was referring to Trust and Obey. But isn't that a very encouraging message? Just what that little lad said, trust and okay. And if you trust the Lord, brethren and sisters, if you obey his voice, then everything will be okay. Everything will be all right. And those words, they sum up the message, they sum up the theme of these two very well-known verses of Scripture, Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6, trust and okay. The subject of these two verses, it is that of trust or faith, the trust or the faith of the child of God. They remind you, and can I remind you this morning, impress it on your hearts, that trust is the very heart. It is the very essence of the Christian life. The Scriptures plainly teach us that without faith, it is impossible to please him. The Bible says that the just shall live by faith, and we're to walk by faith and not by sight. Those are just a few examples, but it's clear that trusting is a vital part of the Christian life. You can't live the Christian life aright in a way that pleases God if you don't live by faith, if you don't live with your trust in him. And here in these two verses, the Lord wants you to think about your trust, about your faith as a child of God. And he wants to teach you about trusting more in every situation that you will face. And we're thinking today especially about every situation that you will face in the year of 2024. So let us consider together some questions about trusting as a child of God. Think first of all of who do you trust? Well, the verse 5 opens with the words, trust in the Lord. It is a very basic, a very fundamental truth, trusting in the Lord. But brethren and sisters, I emphasize to you today, it's essential to settle in your heart, to settle in your mind that your trust must be in God and in God alone. You need to keep your eyes on him, and you need to keep your trust in him. As a child of God, you're not to trust in yourself. Remember, Luke records of the Savior, he spake this parable unto certain which trusted in themselves that they were righteous. There are those who trust in themselves to become a Christian, trust in their own efforts, their own works. If that's what you have been doing, we want to point you away from yourself and point you to Christ, the Lamb of God. But there are those who trust in themselves to become a Christian, but there are also those who are Christians who trust in themselves. They trust in their own talents, trust in their own ability, their own connections to get them through life's troubles. You're not to trust in yourself, and you're not to trust in your money. Can I remind you of the warning of Paul? He encouraged Timothy to give this message to the rich, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. The message is clear. You're not to put your trust in your gold, but you're to put your trust in God. And yet many do, even many Christians, put their trust in the money, the possessions that they have. Did you notice how wealth is described in those words by the Apostle Paul? Uncertain riches. Can I remind you of that today? Money is uncertain. You can't depend upon it. Solomon said in the book of Proverbs, "For riches certainly make themselves wings. They fly away as an eagle toward heaven. Here today, but gone tomorrow." You're not to trust in your money. And you're not to trust in men, regardless of who they are or what position they hold. You think of the message of the middle verse of the Bible, Psalm 118, verse 8. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. And verse 9 says it's better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. It's warning us, brethren and sisters, men can fail. Men can fail us. Even the best of men, even the highest in the land can fail us. If you've ever read the story of John Huss, the Bohemian martyr, he was promised safe passage by both the King of Italy and the King of Bohemia. But both of those kings broke their promise, and he was arrested and martyred. So men can fail you. Men can let you down. So brethren and sisters, it's vital. Your trust must be in the Lord. Or as the Savior told his disciples, have faith in God. Notice carefully the name that is used there in verse 5. It is the name Jehovah. It is Lord in the small capitals. So the name Jehovah stresses to you that he is faithful. He's unchangeable. He's dependable. He's the one that never fails. So I urge you, brethren and sisters, today, whatever is happening in your life, don't trust in anything else. Don't trust in anyone else. Keep your trust in the Lord, your trust in Jehovah. Trust his promise. Look at verse 1, how the chapter opens. My son, forget not my law. Maybe that's what you did during 2023. You forgot the word of God. Haven't read it and studied it as you should. You're exhorted to remember God's word. Remember God's promise. If God has given you a command, if God has given you a promise, then don't forget it. Either stand upon it or obey it. But I stress to you, brethren and sisters, you can trust his word. You can trust his promise. You can also trust his providence. In verse 6, you're instructed to acknowledge him. And the idea there is to recognize clearly in your heart and mind his presence and his control in your life. He is with you. Be encouraged by that today. He's in control of every event, every detail of your life. And as the hymn writer said, you can be sure he doeth all things well. So who do you trust? You're to trust in the Lord. The second question is, how do you trust? If you look again at verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. The message is, your trust in the Lord is to be something that is full, something that is complete. It is to be total and without reserve. That word trust that is used here, it has the idea of casting yourself down fully and completely at his feet. And brethren and sisters, I want to stress to you this morning, you're to trust him fully and completely. You're to trust the Lord exclusively and entirely. Alexander the Great, the famous Greek leader, he had a famous physician. His name was Philip. But there was another doctor who was jealous of Philip, often the case. This other doctor wanted Philip's position. And so he wrote a letter to Alexander saying that the doctor, that he was in an alliance with one of Alexander's enemies, Darius III. This doctor was going to poison him. And he wrote this letter to warn Alexander of what was going to take place. The next morning, whenever Alexander was given the mixture to drink, it was a mixture to aid and help his health at that time, he held the letter in his hand and he read it aloud. And then before Philip had an opportunity to respond, Alexander immediately drank from the bowl. And he did that to show he trusted his doctor with all his heart. There wasn't a shadow of distrust that he had with him. And brethren and sisters, that's how you're to trust the Lord. There's to be no doubts, no uncertainty, no wavering, no unbelief. You think carefully of the words, all thine heart. So the challenge is that he must have all of you. The Lord must have all of your heart. There's no room, no place in the church, and there's no room and no place in the work of God for half-hearted Christians. In the Old Testament, it's recorded of some of the kings, men like Solomon and Asa, his heart was not perfect with the Lord as God. That means they were not wholehearted in living for God. I wonder, is that true of you today? If you start 2024, your heart is not perfect with the Lord. You're a half-hearted child of God. Brethren and sisters, realize this morning, God wants your total trust. Yes, total, complete. Nothing held back, no games, no pious-sounding words, no pious-sounding statements. He must have your absolute confidence. So can I ask you this morning, does he have it? As you're setting out on this new year of 2024, do you trust him fully, unreservedly? So how do you trust? The third thing is, the third question, what not to trust? And verse 5 goes on to say, and lean not on thine own understanding. What are you not to trust in? The answer is your own understanding. Can I point out that in the Hebrew, for emphasis, the word understanding comes first. In the Hebrew it reads, upon your understanding, do not lean. So let me make it clear, brethren and sisters, as you think of those words, that the verse is not teaching that you're not to use your own intelligence or you're not to use your own common sense. God has given you a brain, and he expects you to use it. The verse is not saying that you shouldn't consider the facts and you shouldn't weigh up the situation. The message is, don't forget about God and just depend on your own wisdom, your own experience, and your own knowledge, or the wisdom and experience of others. You are to trust God for his help, his wisdom, and his guidance. Let me ask you to focus on the word there, own, in verse 5, thine own understanding. And so you don't miss it, the word is repeated in verse 7, be not wise in thine own eyes, your own. I wonder, is that the sort of Christian you are? You think you can do this on your own. You think you can live the Christian life on your own. You think you can do everything on your own. The situation that you're in, you think you're wise enough, experienced enough, smart enough to handle it yourself. You think that you can work it out and sort it out on your own. You don't need anybody else, and you don't even need God. How foolish that is. Pray the Lord might awaken you to that this morning. Whenever the famine came to the land of Canaan, and Abraham decided it was best for him and his family to go down into Egypt, he was being wise in his own eyes, because he didn't seek God, and he didn't trust God for the circumstances in which he was found. Whenever Joshua went to attack Ai, and he didn't pray for divine direction and decided just to take a small army of 3,000 soldiers, and then ended up running in a shameful defeat and retreat, he was just leaning on his own understanding. I wonder, is that what you have been doing? Is that the way that you have been living the Christian life, living as a child of God? The warning of the passage, brethren and sisters, is clear. When you're wise in your own eyes, you're heading for trouble and defeat and disaster. So I exhort you this morning, brethren and sisters, trust God. Don't trust in yourself. So what not to trust? The fourth question is, when do you trust? If you look at the opening words of verse 6, in all thy ways. That teaches us that you're to trust him all the time. Let me ask you to note the repetition of the little word all in verses 5 and 6. Verse 5 teaches you're to trust the Lord with all thine heart. Verse 6 teaches you're to trust the Lord with all thy ways. Not a few of them, not some of them or most of them, not the easy ones, not the important ways, not just now and again, not just when trouble comes. No, you must trust him in all thy ways, in every situation, with every difficulty, every decision, on every path that he leads you along. Let me ask you also to note the little word in that's found in verse 6, in all thy ways. And the lesson is, you're to trust the Lord just where you are, just where he in his sovereignty and providence has placed you. You're to trust him in the home. You're to trust him in the workplace, in your business. You're to trust him in affliction. You're to trust him in trying and testing times. You're to trust him when you're in good health, and you're to trust him as well when you're in bad health. You're to keep trusting all the time in every place, because he is a specialist in handling every situation. I pray you might remember that. Even when you can't understand what is happening in your life, you're to trust the Lord. Remember, we're told, lean not on your own understanding. So even when you can't understand what is happening, you're still to trust the Lord. A vital lesson for us to learn as a Christian is, you will not always understand what is going on. We always want to know. We always want to understand. But it's good to understand this today, brethren and sisters. You will not always understand what God is doing. Because remember, his ways are past finding out. In fact, there may be times you will completely misunderstand what God is doing. Was not true of Jacob. He said, all these things are against me. He misunderstood what was happening. He was wrong. Everything wasn't against him. So even when you can't understand what is taking place, brethren and sisters, in your life, you're to trust him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. And even when you don't know where the Lord is leading, even when you don't know where the path will end, you're still to keep trusting. Whenever Abraham left his home in Ur of the Chaldees, the Bible records that he went out not knowing whither he went. He didn't know where the road would end. He didn't know where the Lord was taking him, but he still kept trusting and he still kept following after the Lord. So I urge you today to do the same. Trust him all the time in every situation. The final question is, why do you trust? Well, if you look at the end of verse 6, it says, and he shall direct thy paths. Why should we trust him? Well, we should trust him because he will guide you. And he will guide you through all the events of your life. The thought on the word direct that's found there in verse 6 is, he will make the way straight, or he will make the way plain. As David prayed in the Psalms, he will lead you in a plain path. The word direct also includes the idea of removing any obstacle that is in your path, as the Lord did for Israel at the Red Sea, when in the words of the hymn, he rolled the seas away. So brethren, trust him, and as you do, as Isaiah taught, the crooked shall be made straight, and the rough places plain. So let me encourage you today. Let me encourage you all to trust the Lord in 2024, because he will guide you through each of the perplexing paths of life. And he will guide you personally. Notice how personal the end of verse 6 is. It says, he will direct thy paths. Just take a moment to take that in. God himself promises to be your guide. God himself promises to guide you personally and individually right through your life until the journey's end. So what a mercy that is. Be encouraged by that knowledge this morning. He'll guide you personally. He'll guide you certainly. The text states, he shall direct thy paths. Here is one of God's great shalls that are scattered through the word of God. He shall direct thy paths. There's much uncertainty. As we look out on the world today, there may be many uncertain things in your life, your home, your family at this time. But God's direction, God's guidance is not one of them. Here's the certainty of his guidance. Also look and see that he'll guide you perfectly. The verse teaches, he shall direct thy paths. This is divine guidance, brethren and sisters. And because it's divine guidance, that means it is infallible, unerring guidance. It's not wrong for us to confer with flesh and blood. Remember, Paul used those words in writing in the book of Galatians. In other words, it's not wrong for us to ask the advice of family members or others in the church. But in doing so, you must always remember that their advice and their counsel could be wrong. It might be an error. Only God can guide without fault. Only God can guide without mistake. And he promises to do that for you. He'll guide you perfectly. And he'll also guide you completely. Because notice the words right at the end of the text. It says, thy paths. And note that the word path there is in the plural. And earlier in the verse, so too is the word ways. It's in the plural as well. That means that God will guide you along every pathway that you will have to travel right through 2024 and right through your life until the end of your days upon this earth. Remember in the book of the Revelation, he promises he will be your guide even unto death. So he guides completely. So that's a little, brethren and sisters, about why do we trust. So think of what that lad said. Trust and okay. If you trust the Lord, if you obey his voice in 2024, then everything will be okay. Everything will be all right. So may the Lord give you the help and the grace that is needed to do that every day through this year that lies before us. In closing, let me tell you just a little of this story. It's a tremendous story There's more details than I would have time to give you this morning, but Louisa Estead was born in Dover in England in the year 1850. She was saved as a young girl of just 9 years of age. As a teenager, she felt a burden to be a missionary. And then when she was 21 or thereabouts, she emigrated to the United States of America. And in the church meeting there in the United States, her call to missionary work was refreshed, and it was powerfully impressed again upon her heart. She made plans to go to China as a missionary, but her hopes were dashed when her health proved to be too frail for the climate there in the land of China. Shortly after that disappointment, she married, and they had a little girl called Lily. One lovely summer's day, as a family, they went to the beach at Long Island in New York City. A boy got into difficulty in the water. The boy was drowning. And while trying to save him, Mr. Stead lost his own life. The family's day at the beach ended in tragedy. Shortly after that awful event, Louisa and Lily went as missionaries to South Africa, and they labored there for 15 years. And it was while she was a missionary in South Africa, she wrote her most famous hymn, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I've proved him. Think of the circumstances she had come through. How I've proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more." Louisa Stead had learned through all her trials and tragedies, she had learned to keep trusting, and she had learned to pray for grace to trust him more every day. So, brethren and sisters, as you enter into this new year of 2024, on whatever paths the Lord in his providence leads you along, let the words of that chorus be your earnest prayer. Jesus, Jesus, how I trust him, how I have proved him o'er and o'er. Jesus, Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for grace to trust him more. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. May the Lord encourage you all and guide you through our motto text for 2024. We're going to sing the words of that hymn together as we end the service and prepare for the communion. It's 462. The hymn 462, "'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word." We'll stand to sing. Think of the words as you sing them. Think of the few details of that story that I have given to you, the backdrop to the writing of the hymn. The end of the first verse and chorus, "I'll go to the door." We encourage as many as possible to wait for the communion, but if you're not able to stay, you'll be able to leave the meeting at the end of the first verse. So 462, we'll stand to sing, please.